This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omised.com. That's Almased.com.
What a day it is, friends. It's Friday. Good morning to you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. This is the last day that Amy and I will get started at 10 o'clock because starting on Monday, our new time slot is 9 to noon, Monday through Friday.
So,
that's right.
Ronji and I today both showed up late for the last time.
Because we can.
Because we can.
Boss, I just want everybody to know that our boss, Steve Moore, who we love working for, walked into the room and he said, guys, have a great show, or, well, just do as well as you can.
Oof.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right?
Did he say that? I missed part.
You missed it?
Yeah.
You've already been broken down so
yeah,
much.
He just
passed on you.
We're waiting for the buildup. It's just a constant breakdown. Now we're waiting for the buildup.
So
because there's supposed to be a second part of this
process.
But
we're showing up on a new station, 104.1.
104.1 FM, yeah. Starting on Monday. Actually,
midnight.
So if you're listening Sunday night.
At midnight.
At midnight.
Well, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of exciting, though. I kind of want to do
exciting.
That. That's like Y2K. When everyone was watching for Y2K. This is our version of Y2K.
Yes.
If I didn't have to get up an hour earlier now, then I would stay up for it. But I need to get my sleep.
Yeah, you do.
He died a little bit on the inside.
Oh, we should also let you know, for the six people who are listening on 102.5 HD2.
I'm one of them.
I don't know how to get there.
Well,
you have to have an HD radio.
You gotta have to have the HD radio.
I have HD because I can see the HD on my little Subaru screen.
You just titch it over one little thing to.
I don't know how to titch.
So,
you don't know how to titch?
You titch it on the.
You never titched before?
I've never titched the radio.
That's how you do it.
Well, here's what you need to know. If you are listening to that, that goes away on Monday. So you have to listen to us on 104.1 FM.
That's where it will be.
Or we'll still be at 1120.
The OG.
Yeah, the OG will still be active. You don't have to worry about losing that. And, of course, the Odyssey app, which you can put on your phone and listen to us wherever you go.
Frequency modulation.
For the top of the order,
it's gonna get better.
The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Well, the NCAA tournament did not go the way of the Missouri Tigers or SIUE.
Yeah.
Both teams losing yesterday in the first round.
And former Congresswoman Cori Bush is in the news again. Well, her husband is, actually. He's charged with wire fraud.
It's not great. Hey, the Blues beat the Canucks in OT. You know what that means.
They've got a playoff spot.
They're in playoff position right now.
Right this very minute, the St. Louis Blues are technically in a playoff spot. They got to stay there.
It's awesome stuff. Oh, I should mention that, you know, Illinois is playing in the NCAA tournament later tonight. So, you know, Mizzou might be out. SIU Edwardsville might be out. But the Fighting Illini is still in. I think it's an 8:45 tip. It's late.
It is
so
late.
So what does the scenario look like? Like, I mean, what is there, like 6-7 games left and we've got to win 3 of 4? Or what's the deal? Does anybody
know?
Well,
that's a great point. I don't know how many games
left. 13 games left.
Yeah.
13 games left.
So last night was a huge game against the Vancouver Canucks, yeah. And it was, okay, who's going to win this game? Who's going to secure a playoff spot? The Blues were ahead with 3 seconds left
they
in
were.
The game.
Yeah.
And Vancouver tied it up. And you just thought, no. I mean, it just felt absolutely deflating. And you're thinking, well, this is, you know, this serves us right, having a little hope. You mm-hmm. know, just mm-hmm. when you think the Blues have been so hot, they're going to pull it together. They are going to make not only a push for a playoff spot, but they're going to make a run in the postseason. And then Vancouver ties it up. And I was pretty deflated, Ronj, but... Hot dog, Philip Broberg wins it in overtime.
Hot
the Blues
dog.
Are technically
there's
in
a
description
spot. That doesn't gaze.
Yeah,
now,
the thing though, not to get overly exuberant here, because these other teams that we're competing against all have at least one game in
they
hand.
They do.
That is true.
They do.
So, but they've got to win that game in hand, or those two games in hand. I think Calgary's got two games in hand. But the Blues are 10-2-2 since the Four Nations.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best record in hockey since the Four Nations, but it's got to be among the best records in hockey. And here's the thing. You want your team going into the playoffs to have played a series of meaningful games. And the Blues are essentially, these games are all playoff games now because they're trying to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The guys that have been sitting up there in the lap of luxury and they've made the playoffs, they're not going to be risking it all to block shots and they're going to have to go from kind of coasting it along to amping it up in the playoffs. And you'll see a lot of times in the NHL that these eighth-seeded teams beat the top seeds in the playoffs. And it happens not infrequently. So I think this team's got some real – I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to win the President's Trophy.
No.
I don't think you generally
always bad.
Do. It's always bad. And the Tampa Bay Lightning for years – now, granted, they – in the COVID year, they won the Cup, right? We all know Pat Maroon, and they've been a great team. But in the years leading up to that, the Tampa Bay Lightning were a fast, high-scoring team that would run away in the regular season and then just poop out in the first round.
You hate to poop out.
You don't want to poop out.
You do not want to poop out.
No, that's what they say on NHL Network. Yeah. Don't poop out.
Yeah, no, they say don't poop oot.
Oot. Don't poop oot.
It's not oot, it's oat, like boat.
My takeaway from this conversation was the use of the description hot dog, which will now become a part
I
of my.
I love that description. It's underused.
I'm going to be using that the rest of the day in just
watch this.
Different circumstances.
Hey, Michael Kelly, that beautiful woman over there just bought you a drink.
Hot dog.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to be using this again. I mean, I like the hot dog.
Yeah.
Do you not like hot dog?
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear that. Across the snooker table.
I think if you're...
Hot dog, I just beat Hancock again.
If you are speaking to a lady
uh-huh.
at a bar, you're meeting her,
yeah.
and she says something you like, I think you should say, oh, well, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love that.
Hottie. Hot
but
dog.
Do it real sexy-like.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of a sultry.
Yeah, don't say it like you're from the 30s.
Uh-huh.
Be like... Hot dog.
Michael, go ahead.
I think you need to grow a mustache before you start using
a mustachioed
that
term
man.
Hot dog.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Michael, when was the last time you used the phrase, seriously? Well, hello.
Never. No, you know what?
You haven't used that once. You haven't sidled up to someone
and said,
no.
Of
well,
course.
Hello.
I've
wouldn't use well, hello. But I would use like, hi.
Hey, now.
You know, you get...
Hey,
well, hello's kind of sounding that way that you said it would be kind of creepy, right?
You don't think, hey, now.
No, I don't think hey, now's creepy at all.
Uh-huh.
You think hey, now's creepy?
Well, when the way you say it.
Well, you can use it in a lot of different, like, I used to use hey, now, but when somebody were to buy me a drink, now I changed it to hot dog.
That sounds like a great morning show, hey, now and hot dog.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that you're here.
Oh, man. That's so.
Ronj, what's the cringiest line? It doesn't even have to be a pickup line, but at some point you use the line and you're thinking in your head, rats, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, I never.
Oh, come on.
I have never said anything embarrassing.
Oh.
This is my Kevin Wheeler moment. When I'm speaking to a lady, I don't say anything embarrassing. I don't.
You don't say anything offensive?
No.
No, here's the thing. He
no.
doesn't say anything that he finds offensive
no.
or that
I don't,
he
I don't
finds
do,
embarrassing.
At all.
But the general public probably
no,
would.
No, definitely
what,
not.
Do you do this?
I'm very careful.
if it's somebody that I'm truly wanting to impress or hit on or engage,
yeah,
I focus on their friend.
Okay, well, yeah.
You
well,
do
then
that?
That would hurt, that would hurt my
I know
feelings.
It's messed up.
That was
it's
more of a college tactic
yeah,
for me.
I don't know. It's just the direct interaction. You got to kind of work
See,
the friends.
I can't. Okay, this is actually a real conversation. I could never do games. I'm too direct. I'm like, do you like me or not? Just tell me. Do you want to go on a date or not? I don't like the whole, like, hey, oh, your friend's so pretty. Oh,
so, under your, well, under yeah, your
probably,
assessment,
that probably
right
doesn't
now,
work very
that's
well.
Not why. That's, yeah. that's not necessarily why. The reason you pay some attention to the friend is because there's a chance the friend doesn't get a lot of attention.
You're keeping your options open.
No. And if you are talking to the person you were really interested in, if the friend is not getting attention, she might say, let's get out of here. That's why.
Because if you include her, yes. Here's
Michael,
what it comes down to for,
there's
for
a,
me.
There's a term for it, and every dude listening knows what that term is.
Yeah, you would get blocked. Yeah,
that's
you
the block.
You don't want that to happen.
Yes, so you have to be nice to the friend so she doesn't feel left out.
Strategy in getting nice to the friend, and by the way, the friend could be a dude, too.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, you know, but what I'm trying to do is make the person understand, hey, he's a likable dude. People get along with him. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my friend. It like, you know, oh, my God, he was so charming to you, Sarah. Yeah.
Allow me to put an end to this foolishness.
Yeah. The guy who has technically never asked anyone out,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah. So Georgiana and I were in the same youth group at church, and I liked her. Didn't know it at the time, but she kind of liked me. And we all went bowling one night. And I employed your friend method, Kelly.
Really?
Talking to her friend all night and
Do it all night.
No, you got to just
And her friend said at the end of the evening to Georgiana, she says, well, there are other fish in the sea.
Aww.
So the friend method, I would encourage you not to deploy that tactic.
Hmm. I've had better success with becoming the likable person with the whole group, which then endears me with the one that I'm.
But are you showing any special attention to the girl that you're interested in? Because I don't like games.
Well, but
you know, I don't like.
You're
like,
saying it in a way. You want somebody just to walk up to you and be like, "Hey, baby, I think you're hot. Let's go to dinner tomorrow night."
Yes, that would be so. I just don't have time for games.
You want him to be that direct with you?
Yeah, I was direct with him. He goes, "Do you want to go out with me?" Like, "Oh no," you know. I was like, "I'm kind of boring. I don't go out." He goes, "Are you really boring, or do you just not want to go out with me?" I said, "I don't want to go out with you." And he said, "Okay."
Okay, but you.
And then that was the end, and we moved on with our lives.
You have to understand, you are not like most people. Most women, what they say is what you're saying. I don't want to play games, but they absolutely do.
Never play
games. They love games.
Okay.
They say they don't
so
want it.
So there was a guy that was like being flirty, but then he wouldn't make a move. And then he was being flirty and then he wouldn't ask me out. So finally I go, do you have a girlfriend? Because you're acting flirty, but you're not like calling me or anything. So I just need to know. He said, no, I don't have a girlfriend. Sorry. I just didn't know. I was like, no, just if you're interested. Text me if you're not interested.
Here's an application.
Yeah, go somewhere else. Like, I don't know. I don't have time for these games.
The best strategy out there for a male is to be out
have a lot of money.
With another woman. Well, no. Besides that one. No, but to be out with another woman, you become 10 times more attractive
what?
To every other gal.
That's terrible.
I'm telling you,
I don't look at another guy if he's with a woman.
Michael's
I mean,
not wrong.
I'm not
you're
suggesting
not wrong.
Like where you're arm in arm and pawn on each other, but I have gal pals that I hang out with, and I'm telling you, you become far more attractive to other women because they're like, wow, he's non-threatening. Look,
that's
he's
right.
got friends. There's yeah. women who want to be around him.
Yeah.
That's an old tactic.
I can see that like if you're – because it assumes that you're not like – a creepy, like, smarmy guy, all greasy, sitting at a bar by himself versus, okay, here's a woman who trusts this guy's not going to attack her.
How about this? If let's say you're sitting there, Amy, and yeah. I come up to the bar and I pull out a Yahtzee cylinder and pop those dice on the table there, that's playing games.
Oh, my God.
Does that work?
Well, no, I hate bar games.
Honestly,
you don't play
just
bar
because
games.
It's so unique, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I grew up playing Yahtzee.
See there?
Hot dog.
See there?
No.
See there?
In the real world, what would happen is this loser showed up to the bar with
Yahtzee. Exactly.
I will say this.
It's easy to play. You just have the little cylinder.
No, we get it, John.
No, here's the thing. I think bringing the dice, ask the sheriff. It's easy to have dice around.
Yeah.
You could bring the dice, or the cylinder's harder to bring. You know, the cylinder's awkward.
I'll tell you what would be a great pickup. You bring the Yahtzee cup with the dice in them.
Yeah.
And say, you walk up to some random lady and you say, I'm going to roll these dice to determine whether or not you get to go out with me. And then,
oh my gosh, you get to go out with
that's me. That's how you do it.
That pretty direct.
Work. Yeah. That could work.
And no matter
pretty
what
direct.
The dice say,
but
it
is
comes
playing
up,
games,
yes.
To Amy's point.
Yeah, it is playing games. Hey, Michael, I got a line that you can use now during March Madness. Like,
all
if
right.
you're out with a lady and it's not going well, just be like, hey, girl, are you a Cinderella team going on a run? Because you are really upsetting everyone.
Yep. That'll work.
Is it time for a break?
It must be.
You're upsetting everyone.
I may need to pick a ball bat up on the way home to beat him off with that line. I mean, I don't think I'll be able to keep.
I think if anybody, if there's been anybody listening who is hoping on a couple of tips, we've made it infinitely worse.
Yes,
made it so.
There's
much
so much
worse.
More confused than before it started. This is like advanced chemistry.
Next thing you know, dude, you're going to be getting dished off to her sister.
don't let that happen.
That's my move, pal. Hancock and Kelly with Chris and Amy.
Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores, John Hancock, and Michael Kelly. So,
yes,
Fox News poll came out recently about federal government spending. Some interesting results. How much of federal government spending is wasteful and inefficient? 44% of respondents said a great deal. A great deal is wasteful and inefficient. 36% said some of it is wasteful and inefficient. And 13% said almost all. So you can tell a lot of people think, man, a lot of government spending is wasteful and inefficient. Here's the thing. The next question, how would you rate the job the Trump administration is doing identifying and cutting wasteful government spending? 43% said a poor job. 13% said only fair. So you have over half, 56% of people think that Trump is doing a bad or less than good job cutting government spending. How concerned are you that not enough thought and planning has gone into the government spending cuts? 64% of people responding in this Fox News poll are extremely or very concerned that not enough thought has gone into these cuts.
Yeah.
So they like the idea of more efficient government spending and cutting down on waste, but the majority in both questions about how good of a job is Trump doing and how concerned are you that there's not enough thought going into this, the majority are saying, we're very concerned about the way Trump is doing this.
Okay, so, but don't you think, but none of those numbers really surprise me. What I hear there is, I mean, we all heard about the $3,000 toilet seat or the, you know, cigar, the ashtray that wouldn't break, you know. And so there's the belief that nearly everything the federal government does, it overpays for and that there's waste. I believe that. I mean, we all probably believe there's fat inside the government.
Yeah.
So, of course, that people like the idea that we would be getting rid of that. But once it's your ox that starts to get gored is when you feel the problem. And I think the reality of the way that the Trump administration via Elon Musk has gone about this, they've taken a business tactic, which is disruption. It's not a methodical. And if you think back to when Elon Musk bought Twitter, this is what he did. Remember, there was a couple of weeks there where Twitter couldn't even stay on.
Yeah, and Twitter is still worse.
Right.
Worse than when before he took over.
But, I mean, he cut it to the bare bones where he couldn't even make it where retweets were happening because he didn't have enough capacity and he didn't have the nerds that to know how to fix the problem. And he had to go back and get them. And so, you know, I think this is a part of the process that we're going through. The big problem that I think the Trump administration has is that most people think when they think of government waste, they think of that $3,000 toilet seat. What they don't think about is Dr. Jones, who maybe works out at a private ag research facility here in St. Louis County that makes a really good living, who, believe it or not, gets federal funding for his private ag research group, and that's where the rubber's starting to hit the road. Is that the reality of these cuts are soaking in, and it's not the $3,000 toilet seat. Oh, it's in fact my job.
Yeah, and I think part of it, too, is there's been these anecdotal stories where you go in and you wholesale fire the folks who watch over the nuclear arsenal.
Yeah, the stockpile.
You go and hire them back. And there's been a couple or three instances of that in the last month. And so I think people see that and go, you know, maybe it's not being done as efficiently as efficiency would dictate.
Yeah, and that's the defense of that I have heard has been, well, they hire him back. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is it means your process is bad. If you are cleaning out your house, you don't throw everything in the dumpster and then go, oh, wait, I need chairs, and go back and get the chairs. You assess everything first. Do we need this? Can I toss this out? I might need that down the road. I don't know, so I'll hang on to it. This I definitely don't need. You're gone. That's the way people want it to be done. That's the way they would clean their own homes or go through their own finances. They don't want you coming in and just saying, gone, 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 gone. Oh, wait, damn it, I need that. I wasn't thinking.
I was saying, I'm not handy, but anybody who has built anything knows the adage, measure twice, cut once.
Yes.
It's more efficient to do it that way than to cut and to have to keep going back and redo bad work.
Measure twice, cut once.
You can't uncut what you've cut.
You cannot uncut what you've cut, unless you got Gorilla Glue.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Short show today on KMOX. We got Hancock and Kelly with us for another segment, but we are done at 11:50.
Wow.
11:50 today because we have Cardinals baseball this afternoon.
We got to be getting close to the final spring training game, right? Is it this weekend?
Yeah, this is the final week.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Yeah. Technically last week of spring training.
Then do we go play the Little Leaguers? Do we play the Little Leaguers somewhere?
Yeah, they're going to play the
Springfield.
Jackie Robinson West or whatever, you know, Little League World Series teams.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do.
And
don't do that, John.
Oh.
Less than a week
it's
from a real Cardinals regular season baseball game.
Yeah, opening day's coming up.
Right.
You guys
next
going?
Next Thursday.
Oh, you'll
be
there.
Of course.
You got
kegs
the eggs
and eggs.
Kegs and eggs and the first pitch breakfast.
John, were you here? Did we tell you what they're going to have at Kegs and Eggs for the first time in forever?
What?
Eggs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there you go.
We waited until they were the most expensive.
That's good.
You could be sued for fraud if you don't have eggs at Kegs and Eggs.
Yeah.
So on a day that the show ends early.
Yeah,
you guys are done. Does that mean you get to cut out and go see the family in Chicago sooner, or what?
You're talking about me?
Yeah.
You're talking about
me? What do you guys do when you get to when you get a nice little respite like this where you don't have to...
All the stuff that doesn't get done. I find that work is very...
It gets in the way of a lot.
It gets in the way of all the things you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You think of like, oh my gosh, I could have gotten so much done if I weren't here all day.
Got your tags for your license plate,
for
example?
Got my tags. Guess what else I got?
What?
Got my taxes done already.
Oh.
Really?
Can you believe it?
That's impressive.
For Amy, it's unbelievable.
Did you put it into the computer?
No, I have a lady.
Oh.
Her name is Kim, and she helps me when I show up every year and cry a little in her office.
Yeah.
It's not paying taxes. It's just knowing how much to pay. I'll pay the taxes. I just don't like that they make you guess with the threat of imprisonment.
Yeah.
Well, you've been late, so you haven't gone to prison.
I haven't.
Oh, you've been late or you filed to be late?
I filed to be late.
Well, then you're not really late.
That's what I thought. I didn't even know you could do them without filing to be late. This is the first
But
year.
I have had friends in my life who, like, for 5 or 6 years of their life didn't file a tax return.
What?
Not having real jobs. They weren't functioning the way that we are now. But in our 20s, when they were out seeing the world, maybe they had a job here and a job there. They didn't file their tax. I was like, how do you deal with that when you show up on the rolls after not being there for 5 years? Like, I have a job. Don't they come to get your money? And they said, no, not really.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, it should be much easier
it
process. Here's what it should be. End of the year, here's what you owe. We're letting you know you owe this much.
So,
and you have the option, if you think that's wrong, to appeal it. Why don't we just do it that way?
Okay, so we kind of all know what tax fraud is. Like, somehow you're lying, right?
Right, yeah.
The only question I know how to answer is, do you have any livestock? And I know I don't. So I say, no, I don't have any livestock. And then Kim does the rest. So we all know tax fraud is lying. What is tax evasion? Because is that just where you, like, just don't pay?
Yeah.
That's all it is, is not paying.
You get a...
It sounds a lot more like it takes more, like, dodging and
you get
bobbing
a $10,000 payment that you don't run through your books and you don't record.
Isn't that fraud?
Evasion, fraud. I
might just be semantics.
You do something with the mail, too.
You can get that guy on here that, what's his name, that advertises, you know?
Lance Drury.
Call me.
Yeah. I know
you
the law.
You got tax trouble.
Yeah, he'll tell you what's the difference between fraud and evasion, and it may be the same thing.
I don't want trouble with any of them.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why I go to the accountant, and I'm always said, I want you to obviously do the right thing by me and my companies, but most importantly, if it's, you know, that percentage where you have to decide to go one way or the other, let's err on their side.
Yeah.
I don't need any issues. You know what I mean? I just want to get along.
Just in case, you do have a go bag ready, don't you?
You keep your passport updated and your go bag
always,
ready.
Always have a go bag.
Yeah.
It's important.
I don't know. They're kind of eliminating the IRS right now. At least that's what
I know. And I'm honestly a little miffed because this is the first year that I'm actually on time. And I want the IRS to be like, wow, look at her. She's got her ducks in a row. And I thought they were kind of like when you try to impress a TSA agent, like when all your stuff.
Oh, they don't care.
Yeah. I know, but don't you try? Don't you try to be impressive in the TSA line?
Tammy sitting in Topeka right now is looking at your form saying, look at this Amy. I mean, she did a very nice form.
And then, and then Tammy in Topeka goes, I think she's lying about the livestock. That's the only question that's answered in a different
Tammy
handwriting.
Tammy in Topeka is thinking about lunch. She's like, how many of these do I have?
Here.
Right?
Yeah.
It is kind of interesting to watch some of these town halls that are going on.
Yeah.
And I just think it is interesting that people are like going out and fighting for, I want my government people back. And it's kind of interesting because it feels like the narrative's always been the other way.
Hey, we were, I guess we should get to this while we're talking about fraud and evasion. What did Cori Bush's husband do?
Well,
because I know at Cori Bush, there was all this issue with like her private security and so forth, but her husband is something different.
Yeah. So do you remember during the pandemic, we had the PPP loan process? The way I read the story, he applied for two PPP loans, one for an LLC that he had, and then one in, it may have been an LLC in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he received those. And PPP loans were based on your current employment levels, your current wages that you were paying, and your commitment, ability, and then obviously doing it, of retaining those people.
Right.
And I believe there may have been questions as to whether or not he had those many people, et cetera. But it was on two different loans that he wound up getting. Now, that's on top of the fact that he had been employed by her campaign, which was under House ethics investigation for circumventing campaign finance laws for personal benefit. So it appears as though that Cori Bush's story didn't end with her being defeated, but ends now with a continuation of some of these legal problems that emerged as a result of the
release. And this stuff that we're talking about happened before?
No.
They got together?
Oh, well, nobody knows when they got together. I mean, you know what the date they were married.
Right.
But he was on her security detail and was being paid out of campaign funds. And I don't know. Well, I don't know whether he was paid out of federal funds as well.
Yeah.
As private, certainly was paid out of the campaign funds, and the Federal Elections Commission would receive a complaint about that. And I'm sure they received many, and they are in the process of, and those investigations sometimes take forever.
And but, with her loss, the House's ethics investigation was dismissed.
Right.
They said, hey, we're not going to go after you. Had she continued to be a congresswoman, they would have had some inner House disciplinary stuff.
So, guys, we are right now about 2.5 weeks away from the mayoral election.
Yes.
And Kara Spencer did really well in that primary. She's facing Tashara Jones. Do you have any different feeling about how this might go as we get closer to the date? Wondering, I think from my perspective, I'm wondering if that Spencer momentum will keep up if, you know, it's only been a few weeks. So it really takes some time, I think, for momentum to die down. Is there enough momentum to die down between the primary and the actual election?
I don't think so. A 1 month gap between a primary and a general is kind of silly. The other thing too, I don't know. Have you seen? Are they doing paid advertising in the city?
I've seen some Spencer ads.
You
I've
have.
Not seen. And we're just about to start the early voting, which is when I think most of the TV would go.
So there was a pause for a couple of weeks before the television ads resumed. There's nothing that's happened since the primary election date that would cause me to believe anything has fundamentally changed here. Keep an eye on turnout. Because historically, April turnout in St. Louis City was meaningless. And now you actually have a contest on your hands. So we'll see if the voters are kind of warming up to that new reality.
I expect the race to be a little closer than the last one. I don't think the mayor will get beat 2-1. But she's going to get beat. I've worked for groups that are supportive of Kerry. You guys should know that. But objectively, the mayor has a tough battle to haul. A month ago, she was defeated by that. Her main argument is that elect me, I want to continue to implement my changes. And the one thing that she does have some legitimate things to point to where she's made what she believes to be progress as it relates to crime. And that's the one issue that nobody believes. So then you couple that with 2 months ago we had a storm that put a spotlight on her biggest vulnerability is failure of basic government services in a change election. I just don't see it getting better for the mayor because the mayor's opponents are motivated. Even if they're only at 15%, even if we only get 15% turnout, those are going to be motivated voters.
So that's the question I have is about turnout. If she were to win, would she need better turnout? Does lower turnout help Spencer?
I would think that the mayor needs an unbelievable turnout of 70% or 80% to bring enough people to overwhelm what's happened. I don't think turnout will affect either of these either way or the outcome. Do you, John?
No, I thought that if turnout got low enough, we know if you study city elections at all, and I really don't, but I've learned a lot from hanging out with this guy. A really large chunk of the people who are the most faithful voters in the city of St. Louis are the employees of the city of St. Louis. Hmm. They vote in incredible numbers. And so I had thought that if the overall turnout got low enough, that the incumbent mayor turning loose city employees to the polls would have something of an advantage, but it certainly didn't appear that way based on a very low 17% turnout this month.
How much does it matter that you had some city employees like Bethany Williams, who runs the streets department blaming the city employees for their response, saying, well, they gave me bad information.
That's a really good point. Yeah, it may be that you might suppose the city employees would support the incumbent mayor, but perhaps that's not the case here.
Yeah, I think I don't see a scenario where the mayor is able to turn this around. I've tried to put myself in, if I was running that campaign, what would I do to call, and short of something unbelievable, which wouldn't even be well received by her voters, I'm going to eliminate the city's earnings tax. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I just don't see that there's enough traction here to make change.
And we talked about this earlier this week, Michael, because we know crime, you know, we keep seeing the numbers that crime is down. The thing is, the way it's reported, crime and chaos, while being very much related, aren't necessarily the same thing. So you could have the police chief say, well, homicide numbers are down. That's all fine and dandy until those videos come out from last weekend where you have all the cars in downtown St. Louis and the massive fight in Keener Plaza with like 150, 200 young people. Gunshots are ringing out. Cars are speeding all over. I don't know how or if that chaos fits into the crime statistics, but you can say homicides are down and maybe they are, which is great. But when people see those videos from Keener Plaza and there's what, five cops for 200 young people just rioting and shooting guns or whatever it is, but that you've lost. The city of St. Louis has lost.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable, and that's the problem the mayor has. Even though she has stats, and I think she's got a police chief who's making a credible argument that he believes crime is going down, nobody believes it because that's what we see. You know, I couldn't help when I was watching the debates thinking, boy, the mayor has really got to be sharp and pivot here and deal with some stuff. And the strongest thing she has to make the argument on gets torched by those videos. And that's why I don't believe the stats. And I don't know that anybody in the city truly believes the stats, because we're still living through what we deem to have been chaos brought on by the pandemic and this defunding.
I think it's possible that the homicide numbers are down because our criminals are bad shots.
Well, there's less of them.
See, I would look, I believe, but
Ron,
I don't
maybe that chaos didn't even go. That probably wasn't even reported. No one died.
Right.
No one got shot. So I bet all those videos of the gunshots and the cars and the fights, if no one was hurt and nothing was broken, it makes you feel unsafe, but it wouldn't even be in the numbers.
Here's where it's going to be felt. As a season ticket holder for the Cardinals, I know this intimately. Getting people to come down to that ballpark and go see the games, particularly on a time when the team may not be that great. St. Louis Cardinals prop this economy up in the city of St. Louis. They filled hotels not only here in the city, but on highways to all parts of this region and the entire Midwest. We have an economy built around this baseball team. And sure, the team's not playing well, but people are loyal, faithful supporters of this Cardinal team. What's going to drive people away is this perception of safety, and it's killing us. And it's, you're going to see it in the tax revenue coming to the city this year.
Yeah, I don't doubt the numbers. I don't think the police department is lying about what's happening. What I do think, though, is when you see a moment like that, it gets extrapolated to, well, that's what's always going on. That's downtown St. Louis every single night. It doesn't happen if there are people out and about in the city.
True that.
And we just don't have people coming
but
downtown.
We haven't had people coming into St. Louis
for years.
50 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, Michael, Kelly, John Hancock, we love you.
Adios.
We'll see you soon.
See you guys.
Bye.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Any of you in here watching the show Severance on Apple TV Plus?
No, but I know all about it.
Okay, so the Ben Stiller produced show, which is very, very good. It's critically acclaimed. It's for people who haven't watched it, it's supposed to be like this sort of dystopian situation where you work at a company. When you go into work, you forget about your regular life. When you leave work, you forget about your work life. Completely separate.
Two different existences.
Yes.
Yep, work and non-work.
Your work you knows nothing about your regular life you, and vice versa. It's a really interesting concept. At any rate, the finale of the show was posted last night. So I found this out from I'll tell you about it in a second. But you know the person who developed and designed the building that is being used for the Lumen company, which is the main company in the show, is it was designed by Eero Saarinen.
Okay.
It's a building that was built back in 1960 or in the 1960s. It was Bell Labs, which then became AT&T. All right?
Yep.
Eero Saarinen, you know what else he designed?
What?
The St. Louis Arch. So if you're watching Severance and the building, the really cold out, when they show the outdoor establishing shots on the steps, the facade of the building, that was designed by the exact same person who designed the arch.
Really?
And thank you to the Gateway Arch, who posted about it yesterday. The Gateway Arch's official Instagram account. I did not know that, and I think stuff like that is very cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's
because this
crazy.
Is a very popular show right now.
Yeah.
And you see the building is supposed to look kind of cold and, you know, uninviting. But this person has also made the arch.
Where is that real building?
It's in New Jersey.
It's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting. Do we know what is that building being used for in real life?
Right now it is a mixed use facility. Isn't that awesome?
That's very cool.
I think stuff like that is very cool.
Yeah. Well, and it's also very fitting because we talked about earlier this week, the Post-Dispatch released its 10 best works of public architecture in St. Louis. Of course, the arch was there. The Wainwright Building, the world's first skyscraper. St. Louis Abbey, which at Priory School has the arches. Have you been to that church?
I don't think so.
So it's circular, and I don't know if you'd call it the windows, but there's just all these arches.
Okay.
All around in St. Louis Abbey,
yeah.
Which is very cool. The Climatron at the Botanical Gardens.
Okay. I love also architects,
yeah.
Right? Because you can sometimes, like a Frank Lloyd Wright, you can tell when it's a Frank Lloyd Wright.
I wish I had been an
architect. Yeah, that would have been much better than what we did.
More impressive.
A lot of people would have been happier too, I'm sure. If we had done something else. But you can kind of see the office building and then see the arch and you think, I get it. Maybe it's I'm confirming it myself in my own head, but I feel like I can see it.
Yeah.